And
I see we have another great crowd. It looks, I can't really see. Oh, yeah. We're packed. I'm not going to talk a long time because we've got all this great music and we're going to present Randy with an award. I would just like to say what comes to mind to me tonight is 1989. I had the pleasure of touring all over Africa with Dizzy Gillespie, and we went Egypt, Morocco, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Zaire, Nigeria. And every country we went to, there was usually a press conference, sometimes at the airport, and you're waiting for them to say to Dizzy, Charlie Parker, did you guys know Miles Davis? But everywhere we went, the first question was, do you know Randy Weston? Because Randy's he's the most famous jazz musician probably in the history of Africa, at least as far as what they've been exposed to. He had a longtime club in Morocco, and he's really spread the message of this music all over that continent. And he's one of the most extraordinary, beautiful men I've ever met in my life. Just spends his whole life spreading love and teaching, and just, I could go on a long time, as many of you here who know him could. So without further ado, we're going to start with Randy's band. It's a Randy Weston.
The Kanawa people, the black people of Morocco, originally came from the great empires of Mali around Timbuktu, Sekou, Bambara. And we're going to play two variations of a very powerful spiritual. In Arabic, it's called Sidi Musa. We call it Blue Moses. First would be Hassan. Thank you. Blue, saxophone, Blue Moses, Benny Powell, trombone, Blue Moses, Nia Clark, African percussion, Blue Moses, Hassan, Kakrab, and Hajuj, Alex Blake, string bass, Randy Weston, thank you for starting an incredible evening. I'm so moved, so thrilled, so many giants of our music are right here, and you know, we all love each other deeply. When we embrace each other, it's real love, and I'm just so happy to be part of that musical family. And I had Hassan here because the music comes out of Africa. And Africa is a spiritual center of the planet Earth. And you hear Hassan play that instrument, comes right out of Africa, you know? And it's really beautiful. And we think it's only fitting that Alex Blake should take us home.
Uhuru, and this is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. I would like to say Habarigani, Alafia, Yebo, Akwaba, Nanga Def, Hotep, and Assalamu Alaikum. And you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Richmond, and we would like to thank, first of all, Omali Ishatella, who provided this space for us on Uhuru Radio. And we would also like to thank and always remind people that the name for the show was given to us by Archie Shepp, the great saxophonist out of Philadelphia by way of Florida. And joining me on the line is Randy Weston, and he is speaking to us from Brooklyn, New York. Brother Randy, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
And we are celebrating 50 years of Uhuru Africa, which was a fantastic album that you did in 1960, and we understand that it was banned 4 years later. But before we go into the album and talk about Uhuru Africa, I know that you were telling me that we have lost a lot of giants, African people that have joined the ancestors, and I'd like to let you take a few minutes and remind people that some of the people that we have just lost.
Oh, you know, a wonderful percussionist from Ghana named Eric Asante. Eric recorded with me my first recording for Verve, I did in Paris, you know. And he passed away in Switzerland. The great bassist, Jamil Nasser, we're going to have a tribute for him on the 21st of this month in New York at St. Peter's Church on 54th and Lexington. This guy introduced me to Phineas Newborn, Ahmed Jamal, and Oscar Donat. And we played together since the 58. We did concerts with the Boston Pop Symphony Orchestra. We did Spoleto in South Carolina, and he in 1988 he was with me just before he went to Africa with Adonat and Buster Smith and E.G. Suleiman. So he was a great musician. He recorded with me on the spirits of my ancestors. He was on the first recording of Luau's. That did with Elba Liston. So that's a big loss. The other big loss is Richard Jennings. A lot of people may not know him. 25 years president of the United Nations Jazz Society. And he brought Monk, a lot of great artists to the United Nations, including myself. In fact, I did the very first concert for him. That gave us an opportunity to meet many diplomats and people from different parts of Africa by going to the United Nations. So, and there's some others that are ill, and it's been an interesting February and March. A lot of folks here.
Then you're listening to Diasporic Music. This is on Uhuru Radio. I'm speaking with Randy Weston, who is celebrating or commemorating 50 years of a great album called Uhuru Africa. Now, this album, could you talk about this album and the fact that I guess the great, most of the compositions are your own. However, you have pieces on there from Guy Warren, another brother from Nigeria, Bobby Benson?
No, that's the second album. Now, on Uhuru, see, we have got Music of New African Nations. That was 1964.
Okay.
But Uhuru, 1960, was Charlie Placid, Babatunde Olatunji, Candido, Armando Peraza, Ron Carter on bass, George Vivier on bass, Matt Rose playing marimba. So that was a powerful rhythm section right there. And G.T. Hogan also on drums.
And the significance of that album is not only the music, but you really had a Pan-African orchestra at that particular time because you had people from Africa, the Caribbean, and North America on that particular album, correct?
Yes, because I was always taught from my father when I was very small that African people, we are global people, and we're given many names, you know. Like our music is given many names, you know, but African people are all over the planet because we're the first ones to leave Africa and migrate in the first place, see? So I want to do Uhuru Africa because, number one, I wanted people to know the beauty of Africa and have such great artists, Arthur Flowers, a very great soprano singer in the European classical tradition that had Mark Beat doing showbiz, and have the great Melville Listen, who not only did the arrangements, but she did the orchestration, and she also conducted, you see. And we used Kiswahili because I want to use an African language because at that time, the only thing you would hear from Africa was a movie with some nonsense, you know.
So the Ooga-Booga thing, right?
Yeah, that stuff, you know. So the whole of language itself was created in Africa and was written in Africa. So we used Kiswahili, and it got the great, great Langston Hughes, God bless him, to write a freedom poem and also to write a song for, write the words for a song I call African Lady, which was dedicated to the African woman, our sisters, our cousins, our daughters, our aunts, these women who always been in the background, you see. So it was a very important work for me.
Well, I wanted to pause right there. We're going to continue. We're going to be talking about Uhuru Africa for the rest of this show. But I wanted to, I know you talked about your mother being from Virginia and your father being from Panama, his father being from Jamaica. So I would like to play some music first from the Swan Silvertone Singers featuring the great Claude Jeter. And then I would like to play a song by Lord Kitchener, which is a Kitchener out of Trinidad and Tobago. He did the independent song for Ghana. And before Bob Marley did, Robert Nestor Marley went to Zimbabwe, Kitchener had gone to Ghana in 1957. So can we do that, Mr. Weston? Do I have your permission?
Of course.
You always have to, we have, in African tradition, we have to ask our elders permission to do these things. You know that.
Of course I know that. I'm an elder.
I'm
you know I know.
All right, sir. So we're going to play the Swan Silvertone Singers, and then we're going to listen to Lord Kitchener.
Are possible, yes they are. Oh, Lord.
Yes, yes.
If you imagine hearing Peter when he was talking to the lame man.
Oh, that's a good thing for all of us to do. Somebody know that that's a true song.
If you Tonight and tell you that I'll be.
told you this if I never see you no more, friend.
Oh, if you
will never be forgotten, the 6th of March 1957, when the Gold Coast successfully get their independence officially.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Nkrumah went out his way to make the Gold Coast what it is today. He endeavored continually to bring us freedom and liberty.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Began as agitator, then he became popular leader. He continued to go further, and now he is Ghana's prime minister.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. The national flag is a lovely scene with beautiful colors, red, gold and green, and a black star in the center representing the freedom of Africa.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Congratulations from Haile Selassie was proudly received by everybody. He particularly commend on the doctor's move to self-government.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day.
Subversive agitator, but the people want
all the black peoples of Africa. At long last, the battle has ended.
And now on, there is a new African door. That new African is ready to fight his own battle and show that after all, the black man is capable of managing his own affairs.
You're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. I am on the line with Randy Weston. He is in Brooklyn, New York. And if there's anyone that would like to speak to Randy Weston, the Skype option is Uhuru Radio. Or if you want to send an email and communicate a message to Randy Weston, you can go to dj@uhururadio.com. And if you want to call and speak directly to
Ross Weston, you.
You can call, the U.S. number is 727-565-1599, and the UK the UK number is 020-8133-6629, and Brother Binga is on the buttons, and he can facilitate all those calls, and we're going to go back and talk to Randy Weston. Mr. Weston, I would like to ask you, when you did this Uhuru Africa album, you had a woman by the name of Melba Liston who did a lot of arrangements with you, and I'd like for you to talk about Melba Liston and how she began working with you, and then we wanted to go talk about how you introduced her to certain people in Jamaica and talk about that. But first, how would you describe Melba Liston as a human being and as a musician?
Well, I first heard her with the Dizzy Gillespie Orchestra at Birdland, and he was playing trombone. I'd never heard a woman play trombone before, and so she did a ribbon of my reverie for Dizzy, because Dizzy had that great orchestra, and Dizzy would feature everybody. He was so great. So when I heard her sound as she got on the trombone, she had a big sound. And the trombone, also the arrangement was so beautiful. I introduced myself to her, and we talked a lot. And somehow, she went on Dizzy with Dizzy, they traveled. She came back to New York, settled in on, and we got to know each other. And at that time, I was a United Artist, and I wanted to do Seven Waltzes for Children. It was always... love to watch children, the way they move, the way they walk, the way they talk, you know. So I had this idea in my mind, and I asked her, would she do the arrangements, you know. At her house, she's up in somewhere up in Harlem. I forgot the exact address. And she put on a tape recorder, and I played these seven waltzes that I had written, one for the little boy, one for the little girl, my son, Azadine, my daughter, Pamela, one for Calypso Child, Little Susan, one child for children climbing the hill, children ice skating, children singing the blues, Earth birth, a child arriving on the planet, you see. So, and I told her about song, what I had in mind, and then Melba did the most incredible arrangements for these seven waltzes. And we got Ray Copeland on trumpet, Johnny Griffin on tenor saxophone, we had Chip and Sip on drums. And Melba did the arrangements, and I was at the piano, of course. And at one time, we had Idris Suleiman on the blues song. And it was nominated for 5 Star. It was a great, great recording, because her writing was so original, so different. But for that small group, she got a very, very big sound. That was our first encounter.
Now, Melba Liston hails from Kansas City, and she grew up in Los Angeles, California. We've talked about her many, many times, but I understand that after Uhuru Africa came out, she was sort of whiteballed by the industry, and you facilitated her going to the University of the West Indies at Mona. Could you talk about how P.J. Patterson, who later became the Prime Minister of Jamaica, and the late, great Rex Netterford facilitated Melba Liston going to or working at the University of West Indies?
Well, we at that particular time, I mean, you know, where was Africa? What is Africa? You know, the people who hear that name, you know, sometimes not get it together. So we didn't know who were Africa, but we use Kiswahili. We used Langston Hughes' poetry of freedom. Plus, 16 African nations got their 17 African nations got their independence that year, in addition, you see. So it was hard for us to get work. But we had one opportunity with a big band, which is part of a festival in New York, and I wanted to bring some musicians from Jamaica. Sort of the father of reggae, Count Ozzy.
Kanazi, Revelations.
Exactly. So we went to Jamaica, Melvin Marsden. We met Rex Winifred. We went to see Mr. Manley. He welcomed us at the State House. We met his wife, Mrs. Manley, who was on television. I mean, a royal treatment. And Melba really liked Jamaica. And so because of Rex, he got her into the University of the West Indies. And she stayed 5 years writing and teaching. And teaching a lot of young Jamaican artists, you know, music. So that was a very important period in her life. And plus, it gave her that wonderful spirit of Jamaica, you know, died in her, what she did as a great woman, as a great composer and arranger.
When you talk about Mr. Manley, was that Norman Manley or Michael Manley was the prime minister at that particular time?
Michael Manley was prime minister.
Was it Michael or Norman? Michael.
Michael.
Michael, okay. Yeah, I'm getting Norman Manley was Michael Manley's father. I'm getting my dates
exactly.
All mixed up. Right, right. And
yes.
But Rex Netherford was a great economist. Oh, he was a Renaissance man. Rex, I don't think there was anything Rex Netherford could not do. He was he was a choreographer. I met him the first time I went to Jamaica. He was into theater and a lot of different things. How did what kind of impact did Ms. Lipston have on the University of West Indies in terms of did she produce did she begin a jazz program there or what type of work did she do?
She was teaching as an individual, teaching music, you know, because Melba, she did everything. I mean, she was at Motown for a long time, writing arrangements. Sometimes she didn't know who she was writing for. She wrote for Gloria Lynn. She wrote for Dinah Washington. So she was a total musician. So she didn't have any category of music. And we did a concert with the Boston Pop Symphony Orchestra down with John Williams. Did the conducting. 130-piece orchestra, you see. So Melba was always into tradition, like myself. So that's why we got closer to kind of, she wanted to know more about the origin of reggae, of calypso. She learned all she could and taught all she could while she was in Jamaica.
There was also a film called Smile Orange, which you can still get. She did the music for that particular film. It has some, I believe, Charles Hyatt, who I got to know fairly well. I think he performed in that particular film. Charles Hyatt was one of the, he had a jazz program, and he also wrote a column in a couple of newspapers. She did that particular music score for, Smile Orange. You remember that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Diasporic Music, pardon me, on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. I am on the line with Randy Weston. And before we go on, Randy, I would like for you to talk about the fact that you have a book coming out, an autobiography, or can you talk about that now?
Yeah, it's coming out in September at Duke University Press, and it's called Randy Weston, African Rhythms, you know, and it talks about my life, how and the power and the spirituality of music, and how music has taken me all over the planet, how I've met the best people because of music, historians, teachers, you name it, you know, and so that's what the book is all about, and I've been so blessed to have lived in Africa, to have lived in Europe, to have performed in Japan and Tahiti and places all over the world. But the book is emphasis on African music, the spirituality of this music, how because of this music, how we survive, and how Randy Weston's life became enriched, and how I've met such incredible people because of music. So that's what the book is all about, yeah.
All right. If you want to send an email to us, you can do that by going to dj@uhururadio.com, and the Skype option is Uhuru Radio. And if you want to speak directly to Mr. Weston, you can phone 727-565-1599. If you're calling from the United States, if you're calling from the United Kingdom, you can call 020-8133-6629. And Mr. Weston, I would like to play some music from Guy Warren, Kofi Ganaba, a great Ghanaian who Max Roach told me a lot of stories about. And we can come back and talk about Guy Warren. And I'm hoping that someone will call and email, and because I would really like for you to engage the audience, because I know there are a lot of people listening that would like to talk to you. Can we go to Mystery of Love by Kofi Ganaba or Guy Warren? Uhuru Radio, and we're getting ready to play some music from Guy Warren, a.k.a. Kofi Ganaba, brother out of Ghana.
Yeah.
Uhuru, you're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. We have Mr. African Rhythms on the line, Randy Weston. And I believe we had an email. Someone wanted to ask Mr. Weston a question. Could you read the email?
No problem. Email says, so good to hear Randy Weston on Uhuru Radio. Some people compare your playing to Thelonious Monk's playing. Can you talk about whether Thelonious Monk was an influence on you, and if so, how? And this is from BD.
Well, I'll run down my influences very quickly. Count Basie, Sound and Space, Nat King Cole, Beauty, Art Tatum, fantastic. Thelonious Monk, next, right, Duke Ellington, after. But what I heard of Monk's playing, I heard Africa. I heard magic of Africa in his playing. That's what I heard. Not only his complex harmony, but his rhythmic concept, you know. And I heard him with Hawkins, went to his home, visited him, spent a few hours with him, and hung out with him for 3 years, just watching, listening to his music. And I heard the magic of our ancestors in Monk's music. So it made a big impact upon me. Then after that, I discovered Duke Ellington, where Monk came from, you see. And I listened to Duke, and they put a certain magic in the piano, like nobody else, Monk and Duke Ellington.
You're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. I hope I didn't cut you, Mr. Weston. Had you completed
that? No, not at all.
I wanted to ask you about Kofi Gunaba, Guy Warren. Max Roach told me a story that in the 40s he came to the United States, and he actually had Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach, Charlie Parker. He had presented them with kente cloth way back then, and I know that Mr. Gunaba, Guy Warren, The Mystery of Love is your theme song. You've recorded that on numerous occasions.
Could you talk about Mr. Warren?
Well, he was one of the first to teach us African traditional music, drumming, and what it meant in the whole concept, you know. And he's one of the teachers of Chief Bey. Chief Bey was a great percussionist. And I was so honored because we were both honored in Ghana in the late 90s. But I first saw him physically in 1967 when we toured Africa in Accra. And we played 10 days at the World Trade Center in Accra, and him and Chief Bey were together all the time. So man, I love his music, and he paid me a great compliment. He said, "Randy Weston, you play African music." I said, "Wow," because he was a hard guy, but a genius, without question.
We're winding down. I know you have to cut out. I wanted to ask you a very controversial question. Well, two controversial questions. One, President Barack Hussein Obama has declared June African American Appreciation Month, and there's no longer Black Music Month. That's one question. And the other question is that there was a statement that was sent out, people opposing, there was a problem with Cuba, and they have your name on there in terms of signing that particular document. Could you speak to those two questions?
Well, those questions I don't really know anything about. My life is the truth. My life is traditional. I live in Africa 7 years to be close to the elders, the oldest people. And what they taught me is way above that. I'm talking about spirituality. You see what I'm saying? That's much more deep and other things for me in my life. And the path that I'm on, I've been on this path for a long time. Since my daddy said to me when I was 6 years old, "Son, you're an African born in America. You would learn about Africa when it was great," you see? So all my energy's on the other stuff. Don't touch me. I don't know what it means, you see, because it doesn't give me what I need. I need the energy, the substance, and the learning of our great ancestors who built the pyramids, who created civilization, who created music. That's where I spend all my life, you see. So I don't know if I answered your question, but it's the truth.
Is there anything else you would like to add? Because we have to, I understand that there's some situations that you have to deal with, some unforeseen situations that have taken place, and I really don't want to hinder your what you have to do. But we will continue. We have another hour to do. And being a
great
man, an African man that was born in Louisiana, we know how to improvise.
Yeah.
So, is there anything?
All I can tell you is this: I've been blessed to meet the great masters. I met Dizzy. I spent time with Duke Ellington. I met Jimmy Rushton, Count Basie, all these giants, you know. And the theme is love and our culture and the greatness and the beauty of our people. And that's my message all my life and continues to be that way.
Last question. This is definitely the last question. Could you talk about some of the people on the continent that you have met and in the Caribbean, like Fela, Miriam, and...
Yes, I met Fela. I played with Fela when he played trumpet in 1963 in Nigeria. And Miriam McKeever, we worked opposite each other at the Village Gate in New York. I saw her one time in Tunisia. I saw Miriam in Paris. I met the great Castro Diop in 1985 in Dakar. Why? Because my father told me, he said, only time to be around the best minds that you can find. Kind of always be with the people who tell the truth, you see? And through music, I've been blessed to meet all these great, great people, and they've all given me something. Marcus gave me something. Dizzy gave me something. Duke gave me something. Mom, Pop, Mahalia Jackson. I can go on. In the Caribbean, we met Emmy Césaire. Spent one hour with him in Martinique, you know. So, again, the power of music can open many, many doors. But I think you have to be based upon love. That's so
you
important.
You have a video that you did with Cheikh Anta Diop. You sent me, I remember.
Yeah, not with him.
You
I
have
sent you one on him being interviewed, but not with him, no.
You never interviewed Diop yourself?
Not interviewed him. I spent 1 hour with him.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm confused because I know that you met him.
I didn't say, no, I don't interview this man. No. You're talking about a pharaoh. You're talking about a great, great spiritual man. In Walworth, it's called Bottom Kam. That means a man of very high spiritual quality. So when you're with those kind of people, you just sit there and listen. That's what I did with Monk. That's what I did with Duke. I had to sit there and listen and watch.
So I would like to thank you for spending this hour with Uhuru Radio, Diasporic Music, and I guess Bingo would like to thank you as well. Are you there, my brother?
Definitely.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for Uhuru. Thanks for Melville. Listen, and keep on doing what you're doing, my brother. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Brother Randy Weston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye. Uhuru, my brother.
Uhuru. You know, and I was thinking perhaps the next song we might want to play is a song that Brother Randy did called A Portrait of Chikanta Diop.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So whenever you're ready to go to break, I think that's what we should go to break with.
Okay, I wanted to let everyone know that if they wanted to... we really enjoy those emails, and we would really like to talk to people. You can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. The Skype option is Uhuru Radio, and if you want to call from the U.S., you can call 727-565-1599. The U.K. number is 020-8133-6629. And you're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And let us go to the music, my brother.
All right.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And we were listening to a piece by Randy Weston, who has left the house. And he has some business to attend to. And we were listening to a piece called Portrait of Cheikh Anta Diop, our brother out of Senegal, a great scientist, a man who was a socialist and a real warrior for African people,
mm-hmm.
a gentleman and a scholar. And I'm joined by Abinga Zimbabwe, and we're gonna ride this next hour out. So how, Uhuru, how's everything been going?
It's been going pretty good, you know, just getting back from Kenya and, you know, enjoying being back on the air. Yeah, but it's been
good.
You
were in Kenya, and so you were in the land of Mau Mau, huh?
Yeah. You know, I got dreads, you know, and when people, in most places in Africa, people see me, they say, ah, Rasta. Mm-hmm. And I say, no, Mau Mau. Mau Mau, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that there's a photograph of, famous photograph of Dedan Kimathi on the stretcher when the British captured him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was the first time I saw dreadlocks. He wore dreadlocks in the like 40s and 50s, I guess. Yeah.
In fact, the Mau Mau in general, as I understand, wore them. You know, it was part of just, you know, sign of resistance, as I understand it. And so, in general, you saw the Mau Mau wearing locks, and I think even supporters wore locks, and became, I think, a pretty mobilizing thing in terms of people seeing and recognizing Mau Mau. Of course, I think at some point people started to cut them off, you know, because
security reasons.
Yeah, but yeah, it was the locks. That's where, as I understand, that's where it came from, you know, from the Mau Mau.
Is a new book out called Mau Mau in Harlem, the U.S. and the Liberation of Kenya by Gerald Horn.
Hmm.
And I recommend that book highly. Also, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but there is a photograph of, there was an organization in the 60s called the Revolutionary Action Movement, RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And some, they used to put out a publication called Black America. And on the cover of this particular magazine, there was one of Fidel Castro's bodyguards who was African brother. And he was had this huge afro. It was like an Angela Davis, Harrison Kennedy afro. And people are saying that, you know, a lot of people, I've heard a couple of stories that, you know, that that particular cover sparked a lot of people growing afros. I know that at one time Maxwell Stanford, Muhammad Ahmed, he had a huge afro like that. The other story that I heard was that Carlos Cooks, the African National Pioneer Movement, Elombe Brath says that, you know, they used to have those beauty contests. From the point of view of an African point of view, women with afros and wearing African clothes, you know, that started there. But, you know, that hair thing is, with us, is it's always been an issue.
I tell you what, I think of afros are beautiful.
Yeah.
I always have. Afros are something else.
Yes, sir. I agree. So we're going to play... the next piece of music. I'm losing it. What are we going to next?
I think we're going to go ahead and go to the Wailers.
I wanted to play Walde Semayat. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That was his Ethiopian name, and You Can't Blame the Youth. That's what I wanted to play. Then Bob Marley is on this singing background, and also Bunny Wailer's not on this one because at that time Bunny refused to fly. On this one is a the great Joe Higgs is taking Bunny's place, and Joe Higgs is an older brother that really taught the Wailers how to harmonize. He put the band together, and when I say put the band together, he taught them a lot about harmony. So can we blast that one?
Let's go ahead.
You can't blame the youth. You can't fool the youth. can't fool you. You teach the youths about Christopher Columbus, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about Marco Polo, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youth about the pirate Hawkins, and you said he was a very great man. So you can't blame the youth, and you can't fool.
And you're listening to Uhuru Radio, and this is Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we were listening to The Wailers featuring Peter Tosh out front with Robert Nestor Marley, Bob Marley, providing some background vocals, and also he was providing background vocals were Joe Higgs, and Joe Higgs played with the Wailers on this particular tour because Buddy Livingston did not want to fly at that particular time, and Joe Higgs filled in for him. And I think on this particular track we have the Barrett Brothers, Family Man on bass, his brother Carlton on drums, and I think Wire Lindo is on keyboards. I believe that was the group at that particular time. And you are listening to Uhuru Radio. This is Diasporic Music. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. So, Bingo, are you still there?
I'm right here with you.
Now, we were playing Peter Tosh, and I would really like to know if you could find anything by Lucky Dube out of South Africa. The late Lucky Dube, he was assassinated
not too long ago, and he was really influenced by Peter Tosh. And I had the pleasure of meeting Lucky Dubé and introducing him the first time he came to Toronto. And the reggae that they play in South Africa, they do something with the keyboards, which I don't hear in reggae in other parts of the world. But Lucky Dubé, they compare him to Peter Tosh. But Lucky Dubé, as a singer, he had a range sort of like Walter Williams of the OJs. You know, he could sing from a baritone all the way up to, he had a falsetto. He could sing high as Claude Jeter, for example, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, were you fortunate enough to see Lucky Dubé?
Nah, I never had the opportunity to see Lucky Dubé.
He spent some time. He toured the States for a couple of times, but I guess do you find that African people in the United States, when the reggae artists come through, that there's really there? I know historically they were promoted to a lot of rock audiences as opposed to the R&B folks.
Yeah, you don't. I don't think right now you see a lot of reggae artists really push to R&B folks. And you find a lot of times, from what I've seen, you know, recently, you find a lot of times that they do get marketed to like rock crowds and stuff like that. Of course, you also see, you know, oftentimes with most music, if it's most music, generally, what you find is the crowds that show up are crowds of white people anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not just reggae, but just in general, you know.
Right. If B.B. King would be drawing the Euro-American crowds as well, I guess.
Yeah, I think so, you know.
But someone like Bobby Bland, I guess he would probably still be playing to predominantly African crowds, wouldn't he?
I don't know. You know, I'd like to see. In fact, I'd like to see Bland live. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to do that. But, I imagine that there's, you know, still like a large African audience, you know, particularly older Africans, you know, who listen to, you know, Bland and a lot of, like my grandfather, man, he, you know, you can't go over his house without hearing, you know, some blues, you know, you know, and whether it's Bland or whether, you know, whether it's Muddy Waters or he's just, blues is what you're going to hear, you know.
Right.
And Lil Walter and all, you know, so... there's a crowd. I think, you know, younger Africans in general don't have much exposure though to a lot of blues and really, in my opinion, a lot of good music. Period. You know, the radio is really a terrible thing.
Well, I was blessed in order to. I remember the first concert I remember seeing. It was Bobby Bland. Junior Parker was the headliner, and Bobby, they were using Junior Parker's band. I remember he was singing Next Time You See Me. I must have been 7, 8, 9 years old, and my sister was 4 years younger than one of my sisters, my youngest sister. I remember Bobby Bland picking her up and singing to her, and Don and Dewey were on the show. Yeah, and I've seen Bobby Bland. I took my wife to see Bobby Bland. I've seen Bobby Bland. I've seen him when my father passed away. I went to see Bobby Bland. Not the night I heard that my father had passed away. I was supposed to go to some political meeting, but I said no. I'm gonna hear Bland. But no, I've seen Bobby Bland about 25 times. I love his music, and there's just something about him that it always struck me as. He was as African as you could get on this side of the water, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Bland is something else. Bland is something else. I used to have an album of Bland and B.B. King singing together.
Yeah, yeah, that's a tough CD. And you're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. I put you on the spot with that Lucky Dubé thing, I guess. I think we... is there anything else? Oh, can we fire up some Fela Kuti?
Oh, for sure.
The only problem with Fela is how long is a tune?
Well, Fela, you know, Fela will jam for a minute on you. What I figure we can play from Fela.
You got Sorrow, Tears, and Blood?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, Sorrow, Tears, and Blood is one of the first Fela tunes I'd ever heard. I was, at the time, I was going through some things, and my sister gave me a Fela Kuti CD, and Sorrow, Tears, and Blood was on one side of it. So
that's the one I would like to hear, if you could fire that one up.
No doubt. This is Sorrow, Tears, and Blood from Fela Kuti. We'll be right back.
Everybody run, run, run. Yeah. Everybody scatter, scatter. Yeah. Some people lost some bread. Yeah. Someone nearly died. Yeah. Someone just died. Yeah. Police, they come, army, they come. Yeah. Confusion everywhere. Yeah. 7 minutes later, all done cool down, brother. Police don't go away, army don't disappear. Them leave sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular trade man.
Them leave sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular trade man.
Them regular trade mark.
Them regular trade man.
That is why. Everybody run, run, run.
Yeah.
Everybody scatter, scatter.
Yeah.
Someone nearly died.
Yeah.
Some people lost some bread.
Yeah.
Someone just died.
Yeah.
Police, they come, army, they come.
Yeah.
Confusion everywhere.
Yeah.
7 minutes later, all done cool down, brother. Police don't go away, army don't disappear. Them live sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular trade man.
Them live sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular trade man.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
La 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 la. My people safe, they fear too much. We fear for the thing we know see. For freedom, we fear to fight for liberty, we fear to fight for justice, we fear to fight for happiness. We always get reason to fear. We no one die, we no one wound, we no one quench, we no one go. I get one child, my mother for house, my party for house. I won't build a house, I don't build a house. I no one quench, I won't enjoy, I no one go. So policeman go slap your face, you know, go talk. Army man go weep your yash, you go, they look like donkey. Rhodesia, they do them own, our leaders, they have for nothing. South Africa, they do them home. Them leave sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular trademark.
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 Regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
That is why.
Yeah.
Everybody run, run, run.
Yeah.
Everybody scatter, scatter.
Yeah.
Some people lost some bed.
Yeah.
Someone nearly died.
Yeah.
Police, they come, army, they come.
Yeah.
Confusion everywhere.
Yeah.
Ah, and so. Time when they go, time no wait for nobody, like that. But police go they come, army go they come, with confusion, in style, like this. Nearly die.
Yeah.
Someone just die.
Yeah.
Police they come, army they come.
Yeah.
Confusion everywhere.
Yeah.
7 minutes later,
yeah.
All don't cool down, brother.
Yeah.
Police don't go away.
Yeah.
Army don't disappear.
Yeah.
Them leave sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark. Them live sorrow, tears and blood.
Them regular
trademark. That is why.
Yeah.
Everybody run, run, run.
Yeah.
Everybody scatter, scatter.
Yeah.
Some people lost some bread.
Yeah.
Someone nearly died.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Uhuru Radio, and you're listening to Diasporic Music. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And we are getting ready to feature a little documentary on Melba Liston. We spoke to Randy Weston about Melba Liston, and Melba Liston was an arranger for Motown, believe it or not, but she arranged for primarily in the idiom that they call jazz. She was a trombonist, which is, you don't see too many females playing a trombone, but Ms. Liston was an arranger and a great trombonist, and we're going to listen to a documentary about Sister Melba Liston and come back and finish Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio.
Where she played in her high school band. Melba Liston was born in 1926 in Kansas City, Missouri. In 1942, she began a professional career as a trombonist in the Pitt Band. She joined Gerald Wilson's big band in 1943. In 1947, she recorded with schoolmate and major bebop saxophonist Dexter Gordon, who dedicated Mischievous Lady to her. She joined Dizzy Gillespie's big band in New York for a time. When Wilson disbanded his orchestra on the East Coast after a tour, she toured with Billie Holiday in 1949, but decided that touring was not for her. She worked a clerical job for years, supplementing her income as an extra in Hollywood, including appearances in The Prodigal and The Ten Commandments. She rejoined Gillespie's band for State Department tours in Europe, Middle East, and Latin America in 1956 and 1957. Her best recorded solo is on Gillespie's Cool Breeze on the album Dizzy Gillespie at Newport, recorded at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1957. She formed an all-women quintet in 1958, toured Europe with the theater production Free and Easy in 1959. She worked with the show's musical director, Quincy Jones, and a variety of leaders in the 1960s, including vibraphonist Milt Jackson and saxophonist Johnny Griffin, and began her long association with Randy Weston. I had the pleasure of attending a rehearsal of an all-women's big band, a 16-piece big band with Melba Liston in New York. Wow. And shortly after that, she passed away. So after reading Soul on Soul, The Life and Music of Mary Lou Williams, realized that she had been playing at the Cookery at the same time that I had gone back to New York. And I missed her, as I missed Alberta Hunter. And for me, that is tragic. We're going to celebrate Melba But the band didn't know this. With a beat flat blues. And Jim is going to start because Jim knows the blues. So we're going to do B flat blues. 1, 2, 3, and. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. And I would love it if you played the blues. Yeah. And I know you can give me a blues riff. And what key is that for you? C. I sing the blues, I live the blues. If you treat me right, baby.
Dead in the market, he's stone cold dead in the market, he's stone cold dead in the market. I killed nobody but my husband.
Last night I went out drinking, when I came home I gave her a beating. So she catch up the rolling pin and went to work on my head till she bashed it in. I like old dead in the market, stone cold dead in the market. I like old dead in the market. She killed nobody but her husband.
I lick him with the pot on the frying pan. I lick him with the pot on the frying pan. I lick him with the pot on the frying pan. And if I kill him, he had it coming. Man, he's stone cold dead in the market. He's stone cold dead in the market. He's stone cold dead in the market. I killed nobody but my husband.
My family, they swearing to kill her. My family, they swearing to kill her.
His family, they swearing to kill me. And if I kill him, he had it coming.
Yeah, like old dead in the market, child. Cold dead in the market, child. I like old dead in the market. She killed nobody but her husband.
There's one thing that I am sure, he ain't going to beat me no more. So I tell you that I doesn't care if I was to die in the electric chair. Man, he's stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market. He's stone cold dead in the market. I kill nobody but my husband.
Hey child, I'm coming back and boss you on your head one more time.
No, no, man, you can't do that. You stone cold dead in the market. Murder, stone cold dead in the market. The criminal is stone cold dead in the market. I kill nobody but my husband.
Into Uhuru Radio. This is Diasporic Music. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we were listening to Ella Fitzgerald and her Calypso, Stone Cold Dead in the Market, and that particular song is quite controversial. And as a result of Harry Belafonte selling a million records for his album Calypso, many people can't really believe it, but at one point Calypso was the most popular music in the world, and I've even heard Smokey Robinson talk about how the Motown was influenced by, you know, the Latin music and Calypso music, and the influence of Harry Belafonte is yet to really be documented. When I say Harry Belafonte, he was doing his rendition of Calypso, and some people from Trinidad had Trinidad and Tobago had a problem with him. They said he put too much water into the whiskey and watered it down.
Yeah.
And Belafonte was father was from Martinique, and his mother was born in Jamaica. So he says he has a right. He had a right to do that. But Belafonte made his contribution in politics in other ways, as opposed to just doing a musical thing. And this is Diasporic Music. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. How much time do we have left, Brother Binga?
Well, we've got about 12 minutes left before the close of the program.
I would really like to hear Al Green sing Love and Happiness, because Al Green's really was influenced by Claude Jeter. When he moans for love, that is straight out of the Claude Jeter book of tricks, vocal gymnastics. So if you heard the first hour of the show, we played the Swan Silvertone Singers featuring the late great Claude Jeter, who died about 2 years ago, I think it was 93 or 94, and Paul Simon's Bridge Over Troubled Water was inspired by Mr. Jeter, Reverend Claude Jeter, and he influenced people like Eddie Kendricks and many people owe a lot of allegiance to Reverend Jeter.
Yeah, I can remember Sunday mornings getting up and hearing some of his music playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an unmistakable voice.
You come out of North Carolina, so you would have you heard a lot of gospel, I presume.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, grew up hearing a whole lot of it. In fact, all my uncles played gospel, you know, and my dad, my mom, all of them sung gospel and played gospel. That's how it was.
Well, when I went to Louisiana a year ago, and went to Montcalm Baptist Church. Montcalm is Simsboro, Louisiana, where my mother was born. I looked up and I saw the choir director was my relative. He was a Pruitt. The woman singing solo, she's a Pruitt. Piano player was a Pruitt. So, and the one of the pastors at that particular church used to be was H.B. Barnum's father. You know, H.B. was his father was the reverend at the church in the church where I was born in Louisiana. Right, so I guess I must be one of the few secular. I get a lot of criticism being a secular humanist that loves gospel probably more than the Christians, you know. Yeah, I get a lot of that. It's like, you like that kind of stuff? I love it.
Yeah, it's good music. It's good music. And the reality is that, and this is something I learned when I was in school. I took maybe it was a jazz history course. I forget the name of the brother who taught it. But he explained that gospel, you know, is a form of music that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that it's you know, religious music, but it's a
right.
It's a form of music, you know, really. And you know, and it's sometimes religious and often religious, but sometimes it's not, you know. And you know, the musical style, regardless of whether you come from that that religious tradition or another, I think is something that could be appreciated, should be appreciated, because it's good music.
Well, the first the Fifth Jubilee Singers, which were a spiritual, or I heard some people correcting me one time saying spirituals and gospel are different. I know you're from the South, so you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
In the South, people refer to it as spirituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first spiritual group went to Tuskegee, Fifth Jubilee Singers, pardon me, they went to Europe in 1873. Russia, well, before there was a Soviet Union, they went to all those places in Europe where at that point in history they couldn't have been that many African people there, but they conquered the world then, and then they also after the gospel, then you had the the jazz folks did the same thing. Then after the jazz folks, the rhythm and blues folks, and then you had the reggae folks, and
mm-hmm.
Right now, probably Marley is probably the best known human being on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and Louis Armstrong is everybody knows Satchmo, and Satchmo actually went to Africa in 56, I guess. Yeah, he did, and was invited there by Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. So, the music is out there.
Yeah.
So are we going to fire up the Reverend Al Green and Love and Happiness? So we have that ready?
Love and Happiness.
So
we can hit
that Claude Jeter note and we can get out of here, huh?
Is it
time to sign off?
It's 3:50. Yeah, it's pretty much time to sign off. Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed, and I really appreciate you teching today, and I would like to really thank Mr. Weston, our elder, for all of the knowledge that he dropped on us, and we definitely plan to have him back and look for his book in September, and we encourage everyone to go out and purchase a CD of Randy Weston, and there's many books about him. And Melba Liston, we also encourage you to, check out Sister Melba and just support African music on recording, live, wherever you see it, wherever, in whatever city you're in. If you're in Montreal, Canada, if you're in Greensboro, North Carolina, if you're in Johannesburg, if you're in Accra, Ghana, support whatever artist you have. And I would just like to say... I would like to thank Bingo for teching today, and I would also like to show my appreciation for all the people that listen. And I would like to say, as I always say in the Swahili language, kwaheri, and we will see you in the whirlwind.
Right on.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3:00 in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah, happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
be good to you. We'll be together. Yeah. See each other. Walk away with victory. Yeah. Oh, baby, love and happiness. Oh, yeah. Love and happiness. Oh, hey, hey, hey. Make you do right. And love and make you do wrong. And make you come home. Stay out all night long. Oh, love. Wait a minute. Let me tell you. Love. Let me mourn for love.